Romans chapter 9, verses 10 to 13, a commentary by John Calvin. There are in this chapter some broken sentences, such as this is, but Rebecca also, who had conceived by one, our father Isaac. For he leaves off in the middle, before he comes to the principal verb. The meaning, however, is that the difference as to the possession of the promise may not only be seen in the children of Abraham, but that there is a much more evident example in Jacob and Esau. For in the former instance, some might allege that their condition was unequal, the one being the son of a handmaid, but these were of the same mother, and were even twins, yet one was rejected, and the other was chosen by the Lord. It is hence clear that the fulfillment of the promise does not take place in all the children of the flesh indiscriminately. And as Paul refers to the persons to whom God made known his purpose, I prefer to regard a masculine pronoun to be understood rather than the neuter as Erasmus has done, for the meaning is that God's special election had not been revealed only to Abraham, but also to Rebekah when she brought forth her twins. Verse 11. He now begins to ascend higher, even to show the cause of this difference, which he teaches us is nowhere else to be found except in the election of God. He had indeed before briefly noticed that there was a difference between the natural children of Abraham, that though all were adopted by circumcision into a participation of the covenant, yet the grace of God was not effectual in them at all. Hence, that they who enjoy the favour of God are the children of the promise. But how it thus happened, he has been either silent or has obscurely hinted. Now indeed, he openly ascribes the whole cause to the election of God, and that gratuitous and in no way depending on men, so that in the salvation of the godly, nothing higher must be sought than the goodness of God, and nothing higher in the perdition of the reprobate than his just severity. Then the first proposition is, as the blessing of the covenant separates the Israelite nation from all other people, so the election of God makes a distinction between men in that nation, while he predestinates some to salvation and others to eternal condemnation. The second proposition is, there is no other basis for this election than the goodness of God alone. And also, since the fall of Adam, his mercy which embraces whom he pleases, without any regard whatever to their works. The third is, the Lord in his gratuitous election is free and exempt from the necessity of imparting equally the same grace to all, but on the contrary, he passes by whom he wills, and whom he wills he chooses. All these things Paul briefly includes in one sentence. He then goes on to other things. Moreover, by these words, when the children had not yet been born, nor had done any good or evil, he shows that God, in making a difference, could not have any regard to works, for they were not yet done. Now they who argue on the other side and say that this is no reason why the election of God should not make a difference between men according to the merits of works, for God foresees who those are who by future works will be worthy or unworthy of his grace, are not more clear-sighted than Paul, but stumble at a principle in theology which ought to be well known to all Christians, namely, that God can see nothing in the corrupt nature of man, such as was in Esau and Jacob, to induce him to manifest his favour. When therefore he says that neither of them had then done any good or evil, what he took as granted must also be added, that they were both the children of Adam, by sinful nature, and endued with no particle of righteousness. I do not dwell thus long on explaining these things, because the meaning of the apostle is not obscure. But as the sophist, being not content with his plain sense, endeavour to evade it by frivolous distinctions, I wish to show that Paul was by no means ignorant of those things which they allege. It may be further said that corruption alone, which is diffused through the whole race of man, is sufficient before it breaks out, as they say, into action for condemnation. And hence it follows that Esau was justly rejected, for he was naturally a child of wrath. It was yet necessary lest any doubt should remain, as though his condition became worse through any vice or fault, that sins no less than virtues should be excluded. It is indeed true that the proximate cause of reprobation is the curse we all inherit from Adam, yet that we may learn to acquiesce in the bare and simple good pleasure of God, Paul withdraws us from this view until he has established this doctrine, that God has a sufficiently just reason for electing and for reprobating in his own will. That the purpose of God according to election. He speaks of the gratuitous election of God almost in every instance. If works had any place, he ought to have said that his reward might stand through works. But he mentions the purpose of God, which is included, so to speak, in his own good pleasure alone. And that no ground of dispute may remain on the subject, he has removed all doubt by adding another clause, according to election, and then a third, not through works, but through him who calls. Let us now then apply our minds more closely to this passage. Since the purpose of God according to election is established in this way, that before the brothers were born and had done either good or evil, one was rejected and the other chosen, it hence follows that when anyone ascribes the cause of the difference to their works, he thereby subverts the purposes of God. Now by adding not through works, but through him who calls, he means not on account of works, but of the calling only, for he wishes to exclude works altogether. We have then the whole stability of our election enclosed in the purpose of God alone. Here merits avail nothing, as they issue in nothing but death. No worthiness is regarded, for there is none, but the goodness of God reigns alone. False, then, is the dogma, and contrary to God's word, that God elects or rejects as he foresees each to be worthy or unworthy of his favor. Verse 12. The elder shall serve the younger. See how the Lord makes a difference between the sons of Isaac. While they were yet as in their mother's womb, for this was the heavenly answer by which it appeared that God designed to show to the younger peculiar favor, which he denied to the elder. Though this indeed had reference to the right of primogeniture, yet in this, as the symbol of something greater, was manifested the will of God. And that this was the case, we may easily perceive when we consider that what little benefit, according to the flesh, Jacob derived from his primogeniture. For he was, on its account, exposed to great danger. And to avoid this danger, he was obliged to quit his home and his country, and was unkindly treated in his exile. When he returned, he tremblingly and in doubt of his life, prostrated himself at the feet of his brother, humbly asked forgiveness for his offense, and lived through the indulgence shown to him. Where was his dominion over his brother, from whom he was constrained to seek by entreaty his life? There was then something greater than the primogeniture promised in the answer given by the Lord. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I loved. He confirms by a still stronger testimony how much the heavenly answer given to Rebekah availed to his present purpose. That is, that the spiritual condition of both was intimated by the dominion of Jacob and servitude of Esau, and also that Jacob obtained this favor through the kindness of God and not through his own merit. Then this testimony of the prophet shows the reason why the Lord conferred on Jacob the primogeniture, and it is taken from the first chapter of Malachi, where the Lord, reproaching the Jews for their ingratitude, mentions his former kindness to them. I have loved you, he says. And then he refers to the origin of his love. Was not Esau the brother of Jacob? As though he had said, what privilege had he that I should prefer him to his brother? none whatsoever. It was indeed an equal right, except that by the law of nature the younger ought to have served the elder. I yet chose the one and rejected the other, and I was thus led by my mercy alone, and by no worthiness as to works. I therefore chose you for my people, that I might show the same kindness to the seed of Jacob, but I rejected the Edomites, the progeny of Esau. Ye are then so much the worse, inasmuch as the remembrance of so great a favor cannot stimulate you to adore my majesty. Now, though earthly blessings are there recorded which God had conferred on the Israelites, it is not yet right to view them but as symbols of his benevolence, for where the wrath of God is, there death follows, but where his love is, there is life.